Holy Spirit, I just thank you. We are led by you, Holy Spirit. Not by emotions, but by Holy Spirit. We thank you so much. This service is yours. And we bless a beautiful month of Nevin and Jacqueline's wedding. We thank you for perfect weather in Jesus' name and clear roads for all those traveling in, Lord. We thank you for a time of joyful celebration that you get all the glory and everything goes smoothly from cakes to cupcakes to DJs, just everything, Lord God. We just thank you. We just cover them. Be praying for their wedding. You know what? Right? God perfects the things that concern us. And I love them very much. My family, praise God. All right, here's the waterproof mascara, and all right, I'm doing part three of my series, and I'm talking about the authority that we have in Jesus. How many people are thankful for the authority we have in Jesus? So this is part three, and I'll probably get, it's going to be good. It's a series, so don't worry. We're going to be talking today about turning your power switch on. So, you know, we've had a lot of rain recently, and how many people, don't you just love it when the power goes out, when a big storm hits, right? and you look, and how many people have a count of all the different clocks that you have to go ahead and reboot and things like that. I think the worst feeling is when you're sitting there in the dark waiting for the power to come back on. Have you ever gotten to the point where you're so tired of waiting for the power to come back on, you actually just leave the house? You know, go to these places called malls. Remember when everyone would go to the mall? Because it had air conditioning and the power was on. Or you go to a restaurant or go visit a friend. And I'm kind of using this as an analogy that I'm going to build on next week. But, you know, when we as the church, the power inside of us is Jesus Christ, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And when we start to disconnect and let our switch get turned off and the light feels dim in a church, that's when a generation leaves the church looking for power, light, love, community, and other places. You know, sometimes people try out a church. You know, they try out Jesus. You can't try out Jesus. It's a blind faith, just jump in going, Jesus, I'm yours, you know? but they'll visit a church to kind of try it out. And they may not know what they're looking for, but they are looking for love. And they're looking for family and community, and they are looking for something different. They are looking for power, for healing, for freedom. And I will say this, you know, we as a spirit-filled church, I want to say this, when we disconnect from the fruits of the Spirit, which actually pave the way to sustain the power gifts of the Holy Spirit to be received. If you move in the power gifts of the Holy Spirit without love, it essentially bruises the fruit, damages the relationships around you, which is why in 1 Corinthians 13, I challenge you to read 1 Corinthians, when it talks about the powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit in chapter 12, he puts on the brakes and goes, hey, wait a minute, let me just cover this real quick. In chapter 13, and he starts out, he says, hey, you can move in all these powerful gifts, but if you don't have love, if you don't love those that you're trying to minister to, it is like, okay, like Lane's our drummer, like the loudest clashing cymbals, which we love, but at the wrong timing, it can kind of like feel, you know, in the middle of worship, in that sweetness of the presence of God, when you hit those cymbals at the wrong time. A better analogy might be this, when you try to move in the power of the Holy Spirit without love, it is like nails on a chalkboard. And we leave the church. Has anybody ever been in a church situation, could even be a home group or street ministry, where someone's trying to move in the power of Holy Spirit without love, and it just is like you can't get away fast enough? And you know, when people leave the church, they kind of see a culture, and they start wondering, is it just a social club that I don't fit, that I'm not accepted in? You know, it's a little clicky. No one invites me out to lunch or to their home group, and, you know, it starts to feel like without the power and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, it starts to feel like just a bunch of religious jargon and traditions. Because all of us churches, we have our traditions, even us ones that say we don't, we do. And it becomes the definition of what is called a dead church. So 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6, Jesus says, he has enabled us to be ministers of this new covenant of salvation through Christ, not of the letter of the written code, but of the Spirit.
For the letter of the law kills by revealing sin and demonstrating obedience, but the Spirit gives life. So if all we demonstrate is a culture of rules and regulations, you got to dress this way, you got to look a certain way to be on the stage, you got to, you know, kind of have everything buttoned up to have a grow group, you got to be perfect. It just kills what the Lord's trying to do. But when you combine these things with the Spirit which gives life, the fullness of Holy Spirit, this is the covenant not written of laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death. But under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. Amen? How many people came out of a dead church type situation where all you knew is religion and regulation? Yeah. I was talking to someone. Brad and I went on a double date last night, and Brad's really good friend. He just got married. She grew up like that, and it really affected her view of God and caused her to kind of push away. How many people went through a season like that? You were raised in church, but you kind of pushed away. You know, it's worse when sometimes when we are in search of power and we don't see the living, breathing Jesus through the hands and feet of the church. Sometimes we fall into a snare of looking for that power and that love in dangerous places. Anybody know what the term New Age means? It is looking for power and spiritual connection without Jesus. And we have these other religions, these cults, that take Jesus as the only way. He's the only way. If you're a Christian, you believe there are more than one way to eternity in heaven, you're actually, excuse me for saying this, you're actually not a Christian, you're a Christian universalist. Does that make sense? So that means you believe Jesus and all these other religions can get you to heaven. And that's what happens, I'll be real, when I see people graduate from high school and stop reading their Bible. I give it generally about 5 years in this world. And they go from a Christian that believes in Jesus as their Lord and Savior and knows him through the word becoming alive to people that believe, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, and then all these other things. You know, there's lots of trends right now, and you kind of see it as our stars and famous people kind of talk about their, quote, spirituality. And we have some that, oh yeah, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and then all these other things. And suddenly they start talking about their crystals that they charge in the moonlight. And you're like, what? Jesus in one breath. Come on, how many people have been hearing this? You know, this whole crystal thing has been around a really long time. It's just coming in the spotlight again. And, you know, this concept in the New Age that these crystals, when you put your faith in them, you know, you can have crystal jewelry. That, you know, technically I have an emerald on my ring. That's a crystal, right? But I put no faith in that. That's a symbol of my husband's love for me, which I love. He did a great job. Love him so much. But when you put your faith in something else other than Jesus, you give that thing power, right? What you put your faith in. And they look at these crystals, and what's taught them is that you can use this crystal to harness healing power, relief from anxiety, depression, insomnia, even indigestion. This is what they claim. And, you know, people stop by these spiritualist bookstores and herb shops and you know, candle shops, and they kind of make it sound really cool. But in there, they kind of weave a lot of dangerous trains of thought that can open up some demonic influence spiritual doors. How do I say this? You know, people go in looking for cute little charms because it's pretty. And, you know, a symbol, until you put your faith in it, isn't powerful. You follow me? But when you pick up those little charms, this is going to give me power, and this is going to give me strength and clarity. How many people have seen these charms everywhere? If you put your faith in it, your eyes go off Jesus into another source, which can open a door for demonic influence, because it just says, oh, you want to play? I don't want to play with demons. I don't want to play with other voices. I want to hear his voice. You know, we're in a world that we hear other voices all the time. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger voice I will not follow. If you're out of the word and Jesus is now not the only source of love, joy, peace, power, healing, freedom, we are opening up ourselves to other voices. You know, in dating, Brad and I met online. It's okay, I'm not that smart. It's fine. And it's so funny in these, like, dating sites, like, some of the opening questions are, so what's your sign? Come on, it's actually so wrapped in our culture. I hear so many Christians talking about what their sign is. And, you know, we joke around about it a little bit. You know, I'm of the age, I'm 40, and I remember the teen magazines, and they had all the, oh, what's your sign? And they tell you, you know, your fashion trend and your future based on your sign. And it starts out as fun and games. That's cute. Until they secretly get addicted to looking it up every day as a source of encouragement. and direction. Come on. Oh, well, I was just playing around. It's just fun. But you're starting to put your source somewhere else. And you start to drink the poison slowly. And next thing you know, your friend's like, hey, you know, I got a really great psychic in town. You know, and it just kind of told me some really encouraging things about my future. And next thing you know, stopping by and paying good money. Do you know you don't have to pay for that? You know, we can go pray and the Lord will just download the mysteries and the beauty of his purposes and plans in your life. He'll also declare it through scripture. We'll pray for you. Liz Strayer and Jim, we'll go pray for you and just pray. We don't have to go to these other voices. It opens up doors. And I want to say this in love. And I want to share a story because my best friend in high school was a Wiccan until they gave their life to Jesus. And so I have a lot of love for these communities that are looking for Jesus, but they don't know it's him. Because they're looking for power, they're looking for love, they're looking for community, but he's the only source, and we're the source that connects them. How many people have someone that they love that maybe opened up some doors in the New Age or in the occult and things like that? Yeah. I have a happy ending at the end of my message here. You know, this embracing Wiccan community is very much growing, and it has been. It was huge in the 90s, huge. And, well, everything 90s is back, so, you know, it hasn't gone away. But, you know, they claim they're using white magic for good, and they're harnessing the powers of the universe and Mother Nature, and it sounds really nice. And I bet their motives are really good, but it opens up doors to darker things. I don't have a lot of time to go into this, but I see this has been going on for a really long time in our American culture, but people that are lonely and looking for identity, looking for community, connections, power, influence, even like, I would say even business, there's these kind of anti-Jesus communities and clubs that they advertise connection, brotherhood, community, a family, but they are actually secretly embracing some occult practices that you don't realize until you get in a lot deeper. You know, if you really study the roots of Freemasonry, people don't sign up for all that until they get too far in and suddenly they're saying these vows that are tied to things that are not Jesus. And we talked about vows last week, how powerful they are. It's easy to get pulled in and opens up dangerous doors, these, you know, secret societies en masse, and oh, they kind of laugh. Oh, it's just fun traditions. You know, my grandfather was in, you know, you drink out this little chalice and you say these funny little things. It's not a big deal, but it says you want to play. I don't want to play with that stuff. It's very interesting in Freemasonry, the higher you go up in those levels, they start doing these little prayers and these vows and the sacred chalice and the ha-ha, the skull, and it's not a big deal. But then they start tying in the God of Jehovah with the God of Orsis, the Egyptian one, and then Baal, the Canaanite, and it puts these three gods in one and equalizes them. Ooh, not a good thing. Where are you going with this? I address this stuff in our youth group every year. We used to start in October, and now we started earlier in September, because by the time October comes, the kids think getting Ouija boards out and doing seances and laughing about these little things is innocent. I'm a little too late in the game, so we start covering it in September. You guys down? Okay. So it starts out innocent, but it opens up these demonic doors. It's the hook of community, love, power, healing, freedom, but without Jesus. But it opens up satanic inroads, and you might as well just slap a sign above your door saying, open for spiritual transactions and traffic. It just does. And what you'll start to see is those that start dabbling in the New Age and certain cults and certain things of the occult is you'll start to see chronic sickness. You'll start to see a lot of mental imbalances. Sometimes pretty severe mental illness can come through it. And I say that compassionately because guess what? We're sitting on the answer, who's Jesus Christ. I'm not intimidated. There are more for us than against us. Jesus is so much bigger than this. But, you know, we kind of blow it off. But let's talk about it. So 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, no wonder. Why are they going there? No wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life inside us. So it doesn't matter what dark place I can walk into any candle shop and any crystal shop and any person that wants to read your palm and go, I got the real stuff. I know the real source. Can I pray for, do you have sickness in your body, can I pray for you? Are you dealing with depression? Do you get berated with suicidal thoughts? Can I pray for you to be set free from that? And let me tell you, when someone experiences healing and freedom and true love, peace, and joy for the very first time, they will hear about your Jesus. Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Jesus said then, you are the light of the world. Everybody say this, I am the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out. That means your fruit, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, patience, self-control in this political season, okay? Shine out Jesus. Speak the truth. But a spoonful of sugar helps that truth go down, right? Speak the truth in love, okay? It says, it gives light to everyone around the house. And in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Let's see where I want to go with this. So when we invite Jesus inside of us and ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit by the grace of God, we become the light source and we start to shine and overflow the true Spirit-filled life. Once again, the fruit of the Spirit paves way for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, self-control paves the way for all those powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophetic words of encouragement. Things, stick with me for a couple weeks. We're going to really dig into it. I'm just kind of baiting you tonight. I got some really fun testimonies of why we do what we do. When you walk in this, you don't just talk it. You know, we're really good at church about talking it. We can quote all the scriptures. But we stop and we talk about Jesus, but we forget that we are to represent him. And everything Jesus did, he commanded. He didn't ask us. He commanded us to go into all the world and make disciples. How do you steal out of Satan's kingdom, someone that's stuck in the New Age and the occult? Well, I'm going to go bring the healing power of Jesus. I'm going to go bring the freedom. I'm going to bring love and community. Come to my church family. I'll open up a grow group. Oh, if you don't have room in your grow group, guess what? It's time to multiply. Because there are people that need what you have. Let's create space for discipleship and lives to transform. They will transform around you. So this was yesterday. So Brad and I kind of went, we're trying to create space in our life to just rest. And after we rest, we're like, let's go do something. So we were resting, and then it was late afternoon, and we're like, let's go downtown. We went downtown and grabbed some lunch and walked around, and there was this worship outreach with testimonies that some churches were partnering to do. So we stopped by and I saw some friends and just fun chatting. And it was interesting. We parked at a really probably random, maybe not the best place to park, but it's, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We're fine. So, you know, we're on like the corner of Pershing and King, and we get out of the car and somebody's screaming at their significant other, and like people are coming. I mean, it's like screaming. I'm like, doors are locked. I don't walk in fear, but lock your car door. It's called wisdom. So we parked a pretty significant way away from where we ate. And I was like, ah, oh, we're fine. So as we were walking back to the car, right, come on, y'all know. I don't walk in fear, I walk in wisdom. And as we're walking back to the car, we were at the crosswalk. You know, you're waiting for the light, so you're not jaywalking. And a young gentleman, he looked like he was probably in his late 20s, was at the light waiting for us and just started up a conversation. I'm like, that's normally me. I'm normally like the person that just starts a conversation with strangers. He just made some comments. I don't remember exactly what he said. And had a smile on his face. And so he was walking at the pace with us. And I thought, okay. So instead of being like, you know, hold your purse and like walk away, I was like, okay, you know, I'm just gonna, let's see, maybe God's in this. So he's smiling and I'm talking and Brad and I are talking, and I was like, he's a little off. It's okay. Can I just say it? A little off. Probably a little bit of an imbalance, but kind, friendly. And so we start talking, and it came up that he had stopped by that little worship outreach. And I was like, hey, do you know Jesus? I was like, that was easy. He said, I do. I said, oh, that's great. And we're talking, and in the next sentence, this is interesting, connection with Jesus, he goes, hey, you know that shop down on the corner that sells all those crystals? And I'm not going to shoot him because, you know, it's a local business. And I said, yeah. He said, you ever been in there? I said, yeah, I've been in there. They sell other things. I'll leave it at that. I have a friend that works in one of them. And he goes, with those crystals, I really love them. And I thought, oh, well, I was like, I'm preaching on this. It's already in my notes. I was like, okay, go. Okay, Lord. So I go, hey, did you know when you have Jesus, you don't need those crystals as a source of clarity and direction and healing and power? And he's all ears because I'm going there. Why not? And I'm joyful, loving. I'm not beating him up. I'm not condemning him. I'm just explaining truth and love, right? And I said, I'm looking at my notes, trying to remember where I said, it was wild. This whole conversation just like spilled out. And I said, you know, I said, the danger when you start going to crystals for that kind of stuff is you get other voices. I said, do you ever hear other voices? He goes, yeah, unclairvoyant. If you want to Google that, that basically means that they're spiritually sensitive to hear things about the future and messages from the spirit world. I went, wow, God, this is so easy. Why? It's like, you ever, God just put someone right on your path, like on a silver platter. And I go, I said, hey, do you have any imbalances in your mind? He goes, I do. I said, listen, when you open yourself up to these as a source of these things, it opens up other voices besides Jesus, and it brings confusion and imbalances. You know, imbalances are, our brain's an organ, by the way. So I want to just say this, your brain's an organ. There are imbalances of like serotonin levels, natural things, right? Just like cancer, right? And heart disease. Who's behind heart disease? Satan. I'm not saying everything's a demon. I'm saying there. Who's behind sickness and disease? Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? All right. So don't go right here. But real talk, if you are opening yourself up to hear from other sources, you're inviting other voices, Satan is the author of confusion and those thoughts and those swings in your brain that he, and I saw, you could see it right away. You know when someone is a little bit off and they're struggling a little bit, but kind, a gentle, a friendly person. My heart went out to him. So I said, hey, did you know that Jesus is the most powerful one out of all of them? And I said, and you can get rid of all those crystals and go right to the source. And I said, and he will reveal mysteries about your life and other people. And I bet God's got a gift for you to be able to hear from the spirit world, from Jesus himself through the Holy Spirit, to encourage other people around you. What? I'm checking on the spiritual. Yes, God has spiritual gifts for people that aren't even following Jesus. Huh? But he's got to get connected to the source. I said, is it okay if I pray for you and I tell all those other voices to go so you can listen to just Jesus, so he can use you and he can heal your mind? He looked at me, he goes, yeah. I said, can I put my hand on your shoulder? Ask. This is, we just came out of a pandemic, you know. If he said no, that's fine. You know, God can just use words. But I wanted him to feel love, that I'm not afraid of him. I don't think he's weird. Come on. Some people are afraid. Just put my hand on his shoulders. I didn't go right on his face. You know, I didn't make it weird. I said, my husband's right there. Put my hand on his shoulders. And I just started praying for him. And I felt the tremendous love of Jesus go out to him. And I said, I just want you to know Jesus loves you so much. I started choking. I don't know how much he hears every day that someone really loves him. You know, sometimes those friendly people get really put down in life. And then I started hearing, and I said, you know what? I just break off every negative word that was ever spoken over you. People that tried to push you down and push you back. People that spoke curses over you. I just break that off in the name of Jesus. I don't remember everything I said because the Holy Spirit was there, but I just felt so much peace and love for this young man. And then I started just blessing him and just releasing the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God. And then I just said, repeat this prayer because, you know, let's just re-up a little bit. Jesus, I believe in you. And he repeated that. And I said this, say, Holy Spirit, I want all of you I can get. Fill me up. And then I just prayed that he would have all the gifts the Holy Spirit wanted to give him. Because obviously, God had his number. He just got to get connected to the right source. And when I was done, Brad said this right away. He goes, man, he was different. As soon as we stopped praying, lighter, just more, just different, less of a weight. And he thanked us with a beaming smile. And I asked if he had a church. And he said, I used to go to Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. Hey, you're looking for what community? You're looking for love, just in the wrong place, right? I said, well, listen, I got a friend that has a church plant downtown. It's right across from the YMCA. I said, he's legit. He's not weird, and he loves Jesus. And I said, and you can walk to his church. He goes, I know that church. I said, is Pastor Alex? Oh, I've met him before. I said, we promised we'd go on Sunday. We did. So where's this story going? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. Paul said, and my message and my preaching were not just in persuasive words, but of wisdom and using clever rhetoric. I wasn't trying to, like, debate him. I wasn't trying to debate the crystals. It was a waste of time. I just pointed to the answer in love. But they were delivered in demonstration of Holy Spirit. What? Fruit and power, right? Operating through me and of his power, Jesus Christ, stirring in the minds and persuading them in the listeners. You know, some churches don't even talk about Holy Spirit, let alone these powerful gifts, let alone demonstrate them and act on them. I know a lot of people that can quote the whole Bible, but they're scared to go pray for someone out loud. The worst they can do is say, no, thank you. It's okay. And most of them, if you just ask to pray for a family member, they're down. They're like, sure, you pray for my sick aunt. That'd be great. You know, God has given us delegated authority and gifts of the Holy Spirit and fruit of the Holy Spirit, but it's up to us to turn the switch on and use it. I'm tired of people saying, "When I remember the old days and revival, and where's the revival going to happen?" I'm like, revival's inside us. If every single person flipped their light switch on, boom, it would be blinding and darkness flees. We got to turn our own light switch on. Stop waiting for someone else to give you a word of knowledge. Did you know you have the voice of the Holy Spirit in you? You know what the most powerful thing you can ever do is get a scripture in your heart and give it to someone. The most powerful force on the planet is a scripture that God placed in someone else's heart for you. You can't get that one twisted. So start there and just start practicing. Text them in the morning. Matthew 28, 18 through 19 says this. Jesus said, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Now go, therefore, and make disciples. Luke 9, verse 1 says this. Now Jesus called together the 12 disciples and gave them the right to exercise power. Exercise means you gotta start small and go big, right? Right? If we don't have faith for the common cold, how are we going to have faith to receive healing from the big ones? My professor in Bible school said this. He said that when you start getting a cold symptoms or allergies, hey, 'tis the season, right? I was walking with Brad, my eyes started itching a little bit. I was like, God, thank you. I'm redeemed from the curse of allergies. If you exercise, my professor this, if you don't exercise your faith for the small stuff, and he said the common cold, how are you going to exercise your faith when your spouse gets the cancer diagnosis? Exercise your faith. The right to exercise power and authority over all, everybody say all demons, and to heal all diseases. That means physical, that means emotional, and that means mental. And we need to build our faith for healing and mental illness and imbalances. Listen, those serotonin levels, God can heal that. You know, when we pray for heart disease, we're like, God, I just thank you that that valve is open and clear in the name of Jesus. It's good to research things, to pray for specific stuff. When my sister had cancer of her bladder, there was a diagram on our refrigerator for years. And my parents wrote down the specific things that had to happen in her bladder. And we saw victory in all those things. And she was healed. And man, we worked with Team God through doctors, and we worked with Team Jesus with faith. And she's the only one on the history books of Johns Hopkins University to survive the type of cancer she had at that age. She was diagnosed at 6 months old. That was the death sentence. It's good to know what to be in faith for, right? Satan's behind it all. But this brain, we suddenly go, no, what? Okay, go research what's up with your brain. Listen, look up this lady called Dr. Carolyn Leaf. She's a neurosurgeon, born again, spirit-filled Christian, and she breaks down what's going on in your brain to pray for God to move. It's incredible. Okay, thank you, Lord. I am focused. Whew. You know, these gifts of the Holy Spirit were never meant to stop with us. They're supposed to overflow into the world around you. It's supposed to get outside the four walls of the church. And listen, anytime I see a funky Christian, I'm just going to say they get funky. You know, they start to smell a little like division and gossip and slander, and all they do is complain. I'm like, ooh. Generally speaking, they're in a stagnant place. That just means got a lot going in and nothing coming out. and they start to get stinky. What happens with stagnant water when the water source gets cut off? It starts to get the sludge and the stink. You know, conversations, you're like, after you talk to them for a little bit, you're like, I just need a shower, get all this negativity off me. They start griping and complaining about everyone, and everyone is not good enough, and they tried this group, that church. They checked to every church in town. I'm like, the common denominator might be you at this point. There is no perfect church, just here where you're called to be, okay? You know, and then they start getting critical of leaders, people that have disappointed them, because they're looking to the pastor or their grow group leader or their spouse to fulfill them and satisfy them. And that means you put someone else on the throne of your heart and not Jesus as your source. But I'll get down to it. They actually either normally are outside of the word, but I do know some people that are in the word, but they're not doing the stuff. And they get stagnant. I know some people that are out of the word. At least get in the word, okay? Do the stuff that Jesus did. Take a risk. Just go pray for people. Just pray. That's our challenge in the Edge group. Every day, our challenge is, no matter how exhausted you are, and you want to meet some of the hardest working people are those young adults. They're often like balancing two jobs and volunteering on the worship team and the youth ministry team. They are exhausted. And we come together and eat. It's just good to eat together, right? And the challenge is each day to find someone to pray for out loud. Could be a family member, it could be a friend, could be a stranger at Walmart. Keeps it alive and not stagnant. You know, it's time for all of us in the church, myself included, even on my exhausted, tired days, to flip your switch on and go, Jesus, if you did it, I'm called to do it too. It's time to practice what we preach. You want to get out of your funk? Go practice what we preach. Start reading it and go, Jesus, if you did it, we have been given all authority over every kind of disease, over every kind of demonic influence. That means depression, anxiety, and all these things, whether it's an imbalance or not. He put healing next to all this stuff. So just pray for both of them, right? Okay. All right, let me think here. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, Message Bible says this: God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God himself is behind it. Each person in this room is given something to do that shows who God is. Every person in this room is given a gift or a talent to say, Jesus is alive, and he's powerful, and he's in me. And maybe your gift is you just the great grandma that just loves the tar out of every single one of your kids and all their friends in the entire neighborhood, because Jesus gave you a supernatural overflow love, and that is transformative. And then you start praying. And then all of a sudden you get these little thoughts of encouragement. Go, hey, honey, I want you to know this. You are valuable and you are precious in his sight. And all of a sudden, all day long, all they hear is I am valuable. I am precious in his sight. Being Jesus, we make it a lot more complicated than it has to be. Just take some risks and see what rises up in your heart. The more words you got in you, the more you got to work out of. So the purpose of these gifts is not to stop with us, but is to help other people. Let's see, I think I stopped reading. Let me see. Okay, everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Holy Spirit to all kinds of people. That means not perfect people. How many people love when God uses not perfect people? Gives us hope. Oh, you can use them. They're kind of a mess up. You can use me then. That's all the people we picked in the Bible. Mess ups. Okay. And it says, to all kinds of people, to help each other, and the variety is wonderful, and it lists all these gifts, and we'll talk about it in the weeks to come. So these gifts are not just for us, and it's not just for entertainment within the four walls of the church, and this is where we got funky and went to the circus, because we just came to Sunday morning and go, here we are now, entertain us, you know, truly. Yes, I did sing that song, it's fine. We started making the gifts of the Holy Spirit all about us. And it got weird. Holy Spirit's not weird. He's wild. He's wild. He does really cool stuff. But we started making it about us. And it started about putting on a show for other people. And people went, I'm good. I think I'll just go down to the New Age store and get a crystal. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 2, he says, what I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. This is right before he talks about spiritual gifts. Remember how you were when you didn't know God? Led from one phony God to another, never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everyone else is doing it. Here's this key. They're following for community. Listen, there are these growing communities that have all these letters that I can't even keep track of. Why are they growing? Because there's love and community. And we tend to create more community in these little clubs that are anti-Jesus better than we do the own church. Power and love and truth, because sin is sin, and I'm not going to downplay it. I'm not tearing pages out of the Bible. But when you demonstrate the love of Jesus and the power and the freedom and the healing he walks in, people want what you got. And I want to say this, you will only have authority over that which you love. You will only have authority over that which you cry for in prayer. You don't love them, you're not going to be effective, and God won't send you to them. You'll do damage beating them over the head with the Bible, fire and brimstone, and they'll walk out of a conversation with you going, God hates me. You didn't say that, but they will hear what they feel. Therapy 101, I did therapy. Most people hear what they feel, get offended, and leave. So make sure that you love them to the moon and back, and you are praying for them daily until you literally cry for them. And if you're not a crier, that's okay. The cry of your heart of compassion. Jesus was moved by compassion, and then he healed and set people free. Matthew 9, 36 through 38. If you're angry at a people group and finger pointing at them, you start praying for them every day and said, Jesus, how do you see them? How do you see them? And this is how Jesus saw them. Remember, these are the ones that crucified him, spit in his face, slandered his name, killed his best friends. It says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused, harassed, distressed, dejected, and helpless. Like sheep without a shepherd, he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into a field. Another translation, when you go to the original, like Greek, ask him to catapult, to thrust people. Nevin and Jacqueline are being thrust and catapulted to a people group that we can't reach because we live in York County, Pennsylvania. Aren't you glad he is catapulting someone that can? But in the meantime, we live in York, Pennsylvania, and I'm going to be really real with you. We often pray for God to send people to do what we are called to do, because if it makes you angry, you're called to bring the answer to it. If it frustrates you, you are called to be the answer to it, and you're called to love him. We are always praying for God to send someone else, and to be honest with you, he sent you. We're just a little too insecure and a little too self-centered to go do it ourselves. So we pray every day with our spouse, oh God, would you just please send someone to Bobby at work because they're such a jerk and they make my life so hard. And God's going, hey, have you baked cookies and invite him to the demolition derby. Have him over to barbecue and you go pray for him every day. But that's messy. Welcome to discipleship. Did you know the Great Commission is to not go out into all the world and create little clubby churches with your us for no mores where there's no room for new people? The Great Commission is to go into all the world, the business world, the neighborhood, the PTA, the park, and make disciples. Tell people about Jesus and ask them to do life with you. It's fun and exciting, and to be honest with you, you'll stop griping and complaining because you'll watch lives transform. So when people come to me, I'm like, so who are you discipling? Tell you what, why don't you go pray for people and see who you're called to? And you go pray every day for a scripture to encourage them. Watch their life transform. And suddenly they just stop gossiping. And I'm like, oh my gosh, because your life has purpose and you're not stagnant anymore. All right, let's see here. Thank you, Lord. All right, so how do you know this? Okay, so we just read Jesus was moved with compassion, pray for laborers to be catapulted, right? That was Matthew 9, 36 through 38. You know what the very next scripture is? Most of you don't because we stopped reading at the end of the chapter 9. Did you know numbers were not placed in the Bible? They wrote the whole letter. Like they wrote the whole book of Romans. They wrote the whole book of Corinthians and they didn't put numbers in it. We did it later for good so we can reference it, right? So keep reading things in context or you'll miss key things. Because the very next thing Jesus said this, Matthew 10, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples and gave them authority and power over evil spirits to cast and drive them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. So when you're praying for someone to be sent to go pray for someone, pray for that too, because let's build the team. But then go be that person. Silence. Okay, it's fine. We'll just move on. Do you want to hear a story? Just sweating a little bit. We'll hear a story. Happy ending. We can bring this to a close. All right, so I graduated from Spring Grove High School in the year 2000. Party Like It's 1999 had significant meaning to my class. So I'm 40 years old, and I remember being partnered with a girl in my class that was one of the goth Wiccan girls, and that's what they called them because you dress the part, right? And I started talking to her in class, and you know, like, I was so insecure in high school. I honestly didn't get over a lot of insecurities until I was 26 years old. It was a process for me. I just masked it with humor and was really social. But anyway, so I was super insecure, but I got partnered with her in class, and I think that, you know, when you get partnered in a project, you start sitting with them. And we started talking, and I found out that she actually grew up in a very old traditional denomination in Spring Grove that never talked about any of the Holy Spirit, let alone demonstrated these things. So when life got hard, she quit going. The church felt dead, and she already felt dead on the inside, so what's the point? And she dressed every day in head-to-toe black, every day, I mean head-to-toe. The only color was her eyeshadow, which was like dark, like ruby red, and it was just a circle around her eyes. It literally looked two people like punched her right in the eyes. And she had all these charms and odd symbols and pentagram, you know, it's just one among many symbols, right? Because she's dressing the part. She's hurting. She's just hurting. And she kind of bought into this for identity, and it brought a certain group of friends. And in my particular class at that time, there was a group of girls that all dressed this part, and they all stood at the bus stop beside my bus stop, and they kind of joked around and called it the craft corner, if you follow that, if you're from the 90s, okay? So, you know, I'm leaving her name out just because I, you know, it's still a small town. And it kind of came up in conversations, and I would actually sometimes go stand with their friends, and I was the pastor's daughter that dressed in like hippie vintage clothes from my grandmother's attic and the Salvation Army and every color of the rainbow, as I still do. And I would just drift over to the bus stop right beside mine and start talking to them. And yeah, I got some jokes and yeah, I got some cracks, but you know, the pastor's daughter, whatever. But I just got to know them a little bit. And it kind of came up that, you know, they did the Ouija board stuff and had seances and, you know, they're playing the part, but you're opening up doors. And then I didn't go preach at them. I just loved them. And if you ever want to come to youth group with me, worst thing you can say is no. So as I got to know my friend better, I found out a lot of that hurting and that depression was just masking pain because one of her parents had an affair. And it was a lot of yelling and screaming and bitterness because they were, one parent was leaving to have the affair, then they'd come back. Leave to have the affair, come back. And it was just strife, contention, anger, rage. It was hard to live in. And so to despite that pain and to mask that, she created this exterior persona that felt, it looked like how she felt on the inside. But as I got to know her, she's actually hilarious and so brilliant, probably way smarter than me. And I actually really enjoyed talking to her. So I told my parents about her, and we started praying for her. And this is where I'm going to give you a little teaching. So write down some of these things, and we'll develop them in future weeks. So some of the things we started praying was that any evil spirit that was harassing her mind would go in the name of Jesus. And do you know you don't have to shout it or scream it? You can just pray with your parents and just pray against depression and anxiety in the name of Jesus, you go. Whatever symptom was harassing her, whatever it looked like, I just started just telling it to go in the name of Jesus. Depression, anxiety, pain, suicide, self-harm, go in Jesus' name. Low self-esteem, go in the name of Jesus. Self-harm, go in the name of Jesus. I covered this, 2 weeks ago. If someone's breaking into your house, do you ask what its name is? No, I get a shotgun, and we have one, and you go, and you go, get out of my house in the name of Jesus. You know, I don't have time, nor do I care what their names are. Demons are liars. They're just going to waste your time. So you tell it to go in the name of Jesus. So if there's some symptoms, you're kind of looking, okay, there's a darkness, there's depression, there's anxiety, there's insomnia, whatever. Whatever's going on, just tell that to go in the name of Jesus. The next thing, and you can look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. Next thing, rebuke spiritual blindfolds. Rebuke just means lift it off, tell it to go in the name of Jesus. Expose the lies of Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. You ever talk to someone that no matter what you say, no matter how many times you debate them, no matter how many times you intellectually preach the gospel, like they're like, blah, 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 you know, they don't care. And then they'll try to debate. It's pointless, right? So they have a blinder, a demonic blinder. You know, people would rather believe in aliens than Jesus. Brad and I were talking, and, you know, they actually can't prove certain things scientifically. So they're like, well, then aliens came and seeded the earth. And I'm going, seriously, guys? Okay. But they're blind. And it doesn't matter how smart you are and how much you debate them. But by the way, there are people called into Christian apologetics, and I thank God for them. People like C.S. Lewis and the great theologians of this day. And God gave them that spiritual gift. And they are powerful missionaries to the intellectual community and to the colleges. And that's their gift. Praise God for that. That might not be your gift. I'm not good at that stuff. I'm just better off praying for them. You know, I tell them my story, what Jesus did in my life. Because I'm not smart enough to remember all those scientific things, but I'll watch the movie with them, okay? And I'll pray for peace and healing, and God starts to change your life. So we just take the different angles as the team, right? So 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds who don't believe. They are unable, no matter how hard we try, to see the glorious light of the good news, to even see themselves how God sees them. You are valuable. You are precious. You are smart. There is a future for you. God wants to use you. They can't see that. They're blind. So you start praying for them. It says they don't even understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So then we started praying and releasing and tying the Holy Spirit and his truth over their mind. Break off the lies and release the truth of who they are. And if you don't know that, just pray scripture over them. Most powerful thing you can do is take scripture and pray it over them, right? Release the truth. It starts to move on their heart and rips the blindfold off, and then they can make a free will decision. But I will say this, when someone's identity is wrapped in a lie, she created a persona based on lies and darkness. It's a little harder, so you got to continually pray. Real talk. You ever seen someone that's so angry, they don't even know how to smile because they think their face is going to crack and fall off? They have created a persona. They have wrapped an identity in their anger. They are not on chair number one. They are so trapped in chair number two and loving it. Why? Because my persona, my identity is in my anger or my depression. No, it's not your depression. You want to keep it? How's that going for you? No, not mine. Am I dealing with it right now? Yes. Am I fighting it? Yes, but I'm not keeping it. Pray continually for truth. Break those lies off. Speak the truth over them in love. Tell them the good things you see in them because their dad never did. And all they do is hear him lying because Satan was talking through them. You're a loser. You're never going to make it. You're going to be just like me. You're going to be an addict the rest of your life. And you go up to him going, you know what? You're a man of God. You're a son of God. And God has great plans for you. And he's going to use you. And let me tell you, you're an amazing mother and blah, 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 blah. You know, God's going to use you powerfully and shine through. Speak life. Okay. And hey, if you can get them read the Bible with you, you'll get there a lot faster because it'll renew their mind. So then we took authority over demonic influences that, hey, you open up doors in witchcraft. You start playing around with Ouija boards and seances and lighting candles and talking to dead grandmas, which you can't do. You can only go up or down. There's no in between, okay? That's for another lesson. Pray to shut those demonic doors that they opened. Just ask for God's mercy for them. Playing around with that dumb stuff. I had a lady that mentored me that I don't have time to share her story, but she grew up in church and saw so much hypocrisy and abuse and just baloney stuff. She's like, I'm good. She went to the New Age, got into the crystals and talking to things, and things started lifting her bed off the floor, and things started falling off the wall. And I'll tell you, she went right back to Jesus real fast and got in her authority and got that to shut down, right? But it opened up doors. So we prayed those doors to be shut. And any wrong soul ties that she had opened up, broken in Jesus' name. Any wrong relationships that were feeding her this garbage, just be broken in Jesus' name. Simple thoughts, right? And this is no formula. The Holy Spirit will speak to you about each person. So we started praying. Matthew 18:18 says this. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Whatever you forbid or bind on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit or loose on earth will be permitted in heaven. So what do? Break off all the bad stuff, tell it to go in the name of Jesus. Simple. Then release the good stuff, all the fruit of the Spirit, all the answers, the presence of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you, your presence hovers and draws them. You're revealing your tangible love and peace. You're giving them dreams and visions of the purposes and plans and the good things that you have for them. the family that you've called them to. You're giving a hope and a future. Just start praying, right? The good stuff. Break off the bad stuff. Release the good stuff. Simple? Yeah, I teach the teenagers. Keep it simple, guys. Don't make it too complicated. So I want to say this. You know, they say that an empty mind is the devil's playground. So if all you do is break off all the bad stuff and pray against this, this, and this, and you don't fill them up with the good stuff and release the good stuff over them, make sure you release the good stuff. And if you're praying for them right then and there, obviously ask for them to, like, you know, re-surrender their life to Jesus or whatever, and then get them filled with the Holy Spirit, because then there's no room for demonic activity because they're so filled with him. So after consistently praying for her with passionate prayers of love, we knew it was just a matter of time because God had her number. Because God is faithful to our prayers, even if it takes 10 years. I had a family member, it took straight up 10 years. It was worth it. Don't quit. Because God gives people free will. He can't make someone do something, but he can influence their heart and mind so they can lift the blindfold up and say, wow, my life is terrible. But God, you've given me a better life. And if their identity's not so wrapped in the lie, it's easier to walk into it. So you might have to keep praying that they get enough flashes of the truth to go, this is so much better. I think I'm going to go walk in truth. So we were praying, and I got permission from my parents to invite her over to our house for dinner and work on projects. And we actually became study friends. So my family embraced her, cracked jokes, because she's super sarcastic, honestly, like a really funny person. And it became like almost every day coming over to my house for dinner and studying. And she had her own place at the table. Like literally, it was she had a place that was set. That was her spot. And she eventually had a cot at her house. Like I had the smallest room in the house, but I had my own room. And it barely fit another cot in there. And she spent most weekends at her house. And we'd stay up late watching movies. And she'd come to church with us, because if you spend the night, hey, parents, get them to spend Saturday night. They go to church with you on Sunday. All right, started coming to youth group and started to seeing a living, breathing gospel lived out in the power of God and the love of God in this church community. And she finally said, I want what they have. Gave her life to Jesus, got filled with the Holy Spirit, became a regular at the youth group, got discipled. Her life totally transformed. And guess what? We transformed the inside out. Slowly, you know, we go to the Salvation Army in my grandma's attic and get, you know, outfits. And she became this kind of hippie chick with all the colorful outfits. No more head to toe in black with the two punched in eyes eye makeup. Got her nursing degree, Navy Nursing Corps. Met a wonderful, kind-hearted man. Got married with two children and has a beautiful life. Because we turned our light switch on. What does discipleship look like? Praying and doing life with people. Don't keep praying for someone else to reach them. Invite them over for dinner. It's time for us to turn the power switch on and stop waiting for someone else to do it. Because Jesus paid the power bill 2,000 years ago at the cross. It is our choice to receive it by faith and activate. And go take risks and go pray for people. And don't just pray for them, leave them a spiritual orphan off on the side of the street. Get them planted in church. Invite them over for dinner. They might not come to church with you, but they'll probably have coffee with you. So let's just all stand up, and for the sake of time, and I'm going to go into those tough scriptures. We're going to dig into some really fun, tough ones. But in the meantime, I want you to open up your heart and mind, because I don't want to just intellectually entertain you with the spiritual stories in the Bible. I want to challenge you to start praying for these people groups and start demonstrating love and power and ask God for all these gifts, not for your sake, but for someone else. You know, prophetic gifts, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, all these things are not to entertain us in church, because they may not want your Jesus in their community. But if they receive healing or freedom and they sense the real love because they've never had a pure father's love and you adopt them as, I'm their uncle now, give it time. Then they'll want your Jesus. So we're just going to get quiet. And just, I want to say this. If you've never asked to, number one, have Jesus in your life as your Lord and Savior, we're going to pray that. And if you have never asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray that too. And to be honest with you, if you got filled with the Holy Spirit, but you're not doing this stuff, it's time for a fresh flow. So we're just going to, I'll say this, the altar ministry can come forward. And if you want someone to pray with you, you can come on up and we're going to pray as a group. So everybody just bow your head and close your eyes. And if you'd like someone to pray with you, please come on up. And I'm just going to pray a prayer. And we're going to check all those boxes because the world needs you. because they're looking for it right now and especially in October. So repeat after me. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for resurrecting my life with you. I'm yours. Thank you for your grace to do what you do. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I want all of you I can get. And I will freely receive all the gifts you have for me. So lives transform around me. I receive boldness by faith to take risks, empower and love demonstrations. Amen. Now, I'd like you to ask the Lord who you're supposed to reach out to this week. And if you don't get a face or a name, just look around the workroom. Go sit beside someone new and start up a conversation. Or God just might send someone at a crosswalk, and instead of going, they're weird, and walking away, go pray for them. He might just send someone right to your front door trying to sell you something. Don't leave anybody empty, amen? Church, you are so loved. You are a family. We love you so much. Altars are always open. They'd love to pray for you. If you have sickness in your body, if you're believing for some imbalances, just like maybe some chemical levels to balance out, hormones to balance out. If you're believing to be delivered from insomnia, God wants to give you sleep. We would love to pray for you. Amen. You are loved. Have a great afternoon.